Malka.
Hey, Malka. This is Brandy. He's not on yet.
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. I know.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hana, are you on?
I don't think so.
Okay. I'm not sure where we stopped. I think we're starting at Chapter 9, Section 2. But I'm not sure.
Well, I can't tell you. I don't mark them.
Well, the title is Cross-Gender Soul Migration. Did we talk about women in men's bodies or men in women's bodies last week, last time we did this?
Not that I'm aware of.
That's what I thought. Okay.
I would have remembered it with what's going on in the world today and what they're doing with the military.
Well, the military came up a couple weeks later, so we would not necessarily have remembered it, but that's okay. I think this is
okay.
Where we're supposed to start. And if we're missing
okay.
a part, Hana will let me know, and we'll get it done then. And let me, 1 second. I'll be with, we'll do the Anabacoas in about 1 minute.
Okay.
Please join me in saying the Anabacoas. Anabacoa, itulachimincha, tatir, terura, alatakimo, yutap, sadi, kabel.
Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yudkaf Shin Barchem Tacharem Rachamei Sidkatcha Tamid Gamlem Petet Reish Saditaf Gimel Hasin Kadosh Birov Tucha Nael Adata Bet Tet Resh Saditaf Gimel Tet Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan. The letters of the month of Av, the Kaf that created the planet Shemesh and the planet Chama, the same two words for the one planet called the sun. And the Tet that created the constellation Aryeh, the lion, the astrological sign of Leo. Yachid Geyeh, Lamcha Penei, Zohre Kedushata Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadiyotah. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We're now going to separate between the right column energy of that creation and the left column energy of that creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum Vechanun Erech Apayim V'Ral Chesed V'Emet Notze Chesed La'alafim Nose Awon Wafesha V'Chata'a V'Nakei. We're now going to connect to the year of the goat, the year 5777, by studying two verses from the Tanakh. The first is Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 52. And we will start with a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkinte bithilu. Urchimud, Hilud, Hilu, Urchimu. Leakta, Leshem, Yud, He, Bavav, He. The Yehuda, Shalim, Beshem, Kol Yisrael. Limud, Torah, Mitzvah. Lasok, Torah, Mitzvah. Vayhino, Amadunai, Elohimu, Elena, Masay, Adenu, Kunene, Elena, Masay, Adenu, Kunenehu. Tzotka. Saduni katsipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to create satsuki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these words, we're able to create dir yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to the year of the goat is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. In this verse, the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion, is concealed. Each letter of the name of the year is separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai Yohewahe Elohechem tadibaku kasher asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. Now for the year 5776, known as the year of the pause. There are also two verses that connect to this year. The first verse that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ha'yulimat velo yachlu lehashit et kol ha'olot vayechaskum achechem ha'levim ad kelot hamlacha v'ad yitkadshu ha'kohanim ki ha'levim yishrei levav lehitkadesh me'ha'kohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letters of each word, we're able to permute it into 8 names of God. Adonai Yohei Wahei La La Hei Wa 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 Yo La Yo Wa La Hei 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 A Ka A Bre Ka Ha. The second verse that connects to the year of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidhu ba Adonai Yohei Wahei Adead Kibia Yohei Adonai Yohei Wahei Tzur Olamim. The next year we connect to is 5775 that has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are 3 verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni lo tarpeni ad biliruki. The second verse we study is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavoyam asher yitchabei Sham Mushabtem Eli El Nahon Wehalati Idhem Wehayim Yeshno Barets the Hipasti O Tobekol Alfe Yehuda. And the third is Job chapter 27. Kegelo lanetzach yoved roav yomru ayom. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There is only one verse that connects to this energy. It is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom Le'ami le'Yisrael untati v'shakan ta'aktav v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto kasher barishona. We're now going to study a verse from the Zohar from Parashah Yitro, but it is Pasuk 29, and this verse has the energy of certainty. Rabbi Abba Amar, Bekamatar Tanenan, Tekud Shabarihu, Komadi Aved Le'ela. Witata kola ihu kishot biovada dikshot fele lach mila Shakti Alma Divaye Parnash Ludahya Leya Mineya Ulan Hagabeya Kilana Dehakulu Ovada Dikshot Inun Likola Itsterish Bi Alma. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God, and we're going to do this by saying each name with the vowels connected to its root letter. And when we connect to the 72 names of the Tzaddikim, we will scan them. Hua he wa yo la yo sa yo te ala me. Mehe shi la la he aka aka he ta he za yo ala da la wa he he ya yo za la me be he he re yo he ko me la wa ka la yo la wa wa pe he la. Nu la ha yo 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 me la he 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 wa. Nu ta he he a a yo re ta shi a he re yo yo wa wa me la ka be wa shi re yo he wa he he ka ka. Kawa ko menuda anu yo he he a me re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la he sa la re yo a shi la me yo he wa he wa da nu yo. Hey, hey, she, a, me, te, me. Nu, nu, a, nu, yo, ta. Me, be, hey, pe, wa, yo. Nu, me, yo, yo, la. Hey, re, hey, me, tsa, la, re. Wa, me, be, yo, hey, hey. A, nu, wa, me, hey, yo. Da, me, be, me, nu, ko. Ayo a he be wa, re a he yo be me, he yo yo me wa me. The 72 names from the Tzaddikim, as I said, please scan the whole chart. Starting with the top row, right for the left, and go row by row. And the Tzaddikim who left during this day, the fifth day of Av, the most important one is the Ari, Rabbi Yitzhak ben Rabbi Shlomo Luria, the Ashkenazi. Rabbi Gedalia Chiyun, Rabbi Chaim of Krasna, Rabbi Chaim Ozer Grobzinski of Vilna, Rabbi Binyamon Peler, Rabbi Yisrael Michael Dorfman, and the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach we say in a whisper. The handout for tonight's class, which is on reincarnation, can be found on the Revealed Wisdom page. It's row 11, the second column from the left. It says Advanced Reincarnation Landing Page. When that opens, please scroll down to class 11 and the handout which is handout number 16, starting at chapter 9, section 2. The title of the section is Cross-Gender Soul Migration. Because of sins such as homosexuality, a male soul might reincarnate into a woman's body, and such a woman will not be able to give birth without great merit, and the entry of a feminine soul into her as an ibur. Although women do not reincarnate, they can sometimes come as an ibur into other women, together with sparks of new feminine souls. There is another possibility when they come as an ibur in some other woman. If that woman conceives and becomes pregnant and gives birth to a girl, then the one that came as an ibur might reincarnate as an actual Gilgul in that daughter who was just born. The Ari will return to this phenomena further in this section. Sometimes a man may reincarnate into the body of a woman because of a sin such as homosexuality. Sometimes a man may reincarnate into the body of a woman because of a sin such as homosexuality or something similar. This woman who has received the soul of a man will not be able to conceive and become pregnant. This is a serious punishment. Barren women usually suffer tremendously. This is because she lacks the ability to raise Mayim Nukvim, female waters, and she cannot receive Mayim Dukhrim, which is male waters. If she doesn't ignite the male, she's not really receiving on a spiritual level the flow of Shefa associated with bringing a child. That's a commentary. Continuing to read. The concept of Mayim Nukvim, female waters, was explained somewhat in chapter 3, section 8. Its counterpart is Mayim Dukhrim, male waters, or juices that flow from above to below, such as the sperm that is emitted during marital intimacy. In Kabbalah, this term refers to all the light and blessing that flow downward from above. Obviously, the physical bodies of the partners must be able to function normally in order for procreation to happen. The Ari is adding here that some similar function must also take place in the soul bodies. Souls have masculine and feminine aspects, as it is written. He created them male and female. Furthermore, the rule in the Kabbalah is that the world is a sort of reflection of what is contained in the spiritual roots, despite the anomaly under consideration here. Thus, the female soul must also be able to emit juices of female waters, Mayim Nukrim, and lubrications that draw downward to herself the Mayim Dukhrim, the masculine waters of the masculine soul. The male soul that is within her cannot become pregnant or give birth. In this analogous case, however, as a result of sin, the soul that is within the female body is not feminine, but male. The female body in this case will be able to function normally in a biological sense, to emit female juices and lubrications. However, the male soul that is within her cannot do so. the consequence will be that this woman cannot become pregnant or give birth. This woman will need great merit to enable her to become pregnant and give birth. The only way it can be done is that some other feminine soul must enter her as an ibur. In partnership, they can raise Mayim Nukvim, female waters, conceive, and give birth. One has a female body, the other is a female soul. She cannot give birth to boys, but only to girls. However, she cannot give birth to sons for two reasons. The first is as follows. There is a verse that says, if a woman puts forth seed and a male child is born. In the Talmud, it is said, if a woman puts forth seed first, then a boy will be born. If the man puts forth seed first, then a girl will be born. In this case, the woman is a male, just like her husband. In this case, whichever one biologically puts forth seed first, in the spiritual realm, both partners are masculine souls, and it will always be the male who puts forth seed first. Therefore, the child must be female. She cannot give birth to boys, but only to girls. At the time that she gives birth, the feminine soul enters into the fetus. The second reason is that the feminine soul that has entered her does so only as an ibur in order to help her become pregnant and give birth. Once this woman gives birth, that soul does not need to stay there any longer for no reason. At the time that she gives birth, that feminine soul enters into the fetus as an actual gilgul and not as an ibur, like it was at first. That is why the child that is born must be female and not male. The child that is born will be the gilgul of the feminine soul that entered the mother as an ibur. Since the feminine soul is not itself tainted with any sin of illicit sexual relations, she must enter a feminine body. Therefore, the child will be a female. In summary, any woman whose soul is a masculine soul, as explained beforehand, cannot give birth to a male, but only to a female. The female child that is born will be the same feminine soul that originally entered to help out. In chapter 38, the Ari will actually relate that the first wife of Rabbi Chaim Vital was the gilgul of a soul of the type discussed here in this section. That is why she could not give birth to a son. Rabbi Shmuel Vital, the son of Rabbi Chaim, through whom the Lurianic tradition was transmitted, was the son of Rabbi Chaim's second wife, who was actually his soulmate. My commentary. Homosexuality is considered an abomination. What is homosexuality? If one reads the verses associated with this, it is referring solely to sodomy. Although Orthodox and Kabbalistic Judaism indicate that it applies to the wasting of seed in any way between a man and a woman. Er and Onan died due to the wasting of seed with a woman, the woman Tamar. There is also a teaching in the religion to follow the customs of the people. In this area, the custom appears to be changing, although that may only be in the United States or in the Western world. That's the end of Chapter 9, Section 2. Are there any questions? Male Souls and Male Sons, Chapter 9, Section 3. This section continues the previous one, where a masculine soul reincarnated as a woman because of a sin such as homosexuality. And this woman cannot give birth unless a feminine soul comes to be an Ibur within her. In the last section, we learned that in this case of a feminine soul being an Ibur within a woman whose soul is masculine, the child that will be born will be a girl. The feminine soul that came as an Ibur will become the soul of that daughter in a full-fledged Gilgul. If there is surprisingly great merit, then it is sometimes possible that at the time that child is born, the feminine soul that was there as an Ibur will depart and go on its way. A masculine soul will then enter the fetus, and the child will be a male. Afterwards, it will be impossible for this woman to give birth another time, unless that same feminine soul returns to be an Ibur within the woman as at first. Whether the child that is born is male or female, it will be impossible for that woman to give birth another time. Her soul is masculine and she cannot give birth without the feminine soul that comes to assist her as an Ibur. However, that feminine Ibur is no longer together with her. If the child that was born is a girl, then the feminine Ibur has become the child's soul as a Gilgul. If the child is a boy, then the feminine Ibur has gone on her way to allow the child to be born as a male. The woman can only become pregnant again if that feminine soul leaves the daughter to become once again an Ibur in the mother. In either case, it will be impossible for this woman to give birth another time, unless that same feminine soul returns to be an Ibur within the woman once again, as at first. However, this presents a serious difficulty. If the child that was born with a girl and the feminine Ibur has become the child's soul, therefore, if the first child was a daughter, then this girl will have to die and maybe the feminine soul will return to be an Ibur within the woman as it was beforehand. If this woman whose soul is really masculine is going to have any other pregnancy after the birth of a daughter, then that girl will die first. And this is because the feminine Ibur that makes possible this woman's pregnancies has become the soul of the daughter. The woman can only become pregnant again if that feminine soul leaves the daughter to become once again an Ibur in the mother. Then she will conceive, become pregnant, and give birth to a daughter whose soul will be the feminine soul that was there as an Ibur. This sequence of Ibur and Gilgul can go on many times, and the laws applicable to it will always be the same. However, if she gave birth to a boy, then the child does not need to die. The feminine soul that was an Ibur within her has gone on her way at the time of the boy's birth, as mentioned previously. feminine soul that was an Ibor must return a second time to be an Ibor within her, the woman, in order that she will conceive and give birth to a girl. The feminine soul that was an Ibor needs to return again to this woman to help her become pregnant again, because the feminine soul needs to enter a Gilgul in a feminine body. The first time a boy was born, maybe the second time a girl will be born. And this does need great merit. It is also sometimes possible, although a girl is born first, that the daughter does not need to die. Even though there will be another pregnancy, it is also possible that the first daughter does not need to die. It is possible that a different feminine soul will come to be an Ibor within the mother, and she will conceive and give birth to a girl. And this soul will reincarnate within her as a full-fledged Gilgul. No soul enters the body of a man or a woman in their lifetime unless there is great affinity between them. The woman with a masculine soul had an Ibor of a feminine soul. Consequently, she conceived and gave birth to a girl. The feminine soul that was an Ibor becomes the soul of the daughter. Then a different second feminine soul becomes a second Ibor within the woman whose soul is masculine. She becomes pregnant and gives birth a second time. The second child is also a girl. The second feminine soul that was the second Ibor becomes the soul of the second child. It is possible that these elements can interchange in this way, pregnancy after pregnancy, whenever this woman conceives. However, this phenomenon also needs great merit and a powerful miracle. This is because of a fundamental lesson that we have concerning the secret of Ibor. No soul enters the body of a man or a woman in their lifetime unless there is a great affinity between them. This woman whose root is a masculine soul needs an Ibor of a feminine soul. This feminine soul must contain all the qualities that are needed for this Ibor. In addition, it has to have an affinity or similarity to her. Consequently, this requires great merit, and all the more so if she has to come in Ibor several times, as explained. And it is an even greater miracle to find many feminine souls with the right conditions. And they will also come as an Ibor, each one at a different time. This needs great merit and great miracles. That is the end of this section. Does anyone have any questions? Please return to the Advanced Reincarnation landing page and go to class 12 for the handout number 17, starting with chapter 10, section 1. This Genesis chapter 10, section 1. The title is Fathers and Teachers. The father gives a portion of his soul to the son, and a teacher gives part of his spirit to the student. Please note the difference between soul and spirit. Spirit refers to the ruach. Soul refers to the nefesh. It makes no difference if a man marries his soulmate or if he takes another woman who is not his soulmate. He can father children that are sparks of souls from his own root, or souls from a different root. The father gives a portion of his soul to his children. The mother also gives a portion to her children. But her role in Gilgulim is not as relevant as that of the father. This portion becomes an exterior garment to the soul of the son. My commentary. This chapter, there is a change in the commentator. Even though it is not publicized, you can tell by the change in nomenclature. This commentary, in my opinion, will confuse you. I am going to attempt to clarify the commentary at the end of the section. Please ignore the commentary as we read it and wait for the commentary at the end of the section. According to the Kabbalah, everything in creation has two aspects, light and vessel. When we are talking about humans, for example, these two aspects are called body and soul. When we are talking about Partsufim, the aspect of light is usually called Mochin, brains. And here we are going to also use the original term, light. Actually, the light itself has three aspects, light, Mochin, and Selamim, images. But these details do not concern us here. Although everything that these two aspects of light and vessel, there is another third aspect which lies intermediate between the light and the vessel. It is called the levush, or the garment, because it is an external garment to the light. This garment is interior to the vessels, which comprise the limbs of the partsuf. But it is called levush because it is the garment of the light and the mochin, the brains. It covers them and dims them to eliminate the possibility that the vessels might break because of the great magnitude of light entering into them. This levush, or garment, is actually the nefesh, the sefirot of Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, of the higher partsuf. For example, let us say that the lower partsuf is Zeranpin. We will call the higher partsuf Ima, but in the realm of the soul, this description applies to the relationship of father and son as well. The light of Ima that is within its three lower sefirot, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, ascends upward into its own Tiferet, leaving the vessels of Netzach, Chod, and Yesod empty. Then the light or the Mochin that is being transmitted to Zeranpin from above through Ima enters into the vessels of Netzach, Chod, and Yesod of Ima. The vessels of Netzach, Chod, and Yesod of Ima become the garment for the light of Zeranpin. And in that configuration, they enter into the vessels of Zeranpin. Afterwards, Ima grows new Netzach, Hod, and Yesod for her own light of Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. The Chabad of the light of Zeranpin enters into the Chabad of the vessels of Zeranpin. The Chagat of the light of Zeranpin enters into the Chagat of the vessels of Zeranpin. Chabad is Chachma, Bina, and Dat. Chagat is Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet. The Netzach Hod and Yesod of the light of Zeranpin enters into the Netzach Hod and Yesod of the vessels of Zeranpin. However, the garment of the light of Zeranpin, which is Netzach Hod and Yesod of Ima, is always situated between the light and the vessels. There is a section in the Etz Chaim that is relevant to help us understand this. Each of the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama has five partsufim, and each partsuf consists of 613 limbs. In our text, the Arizal wrote, "The father gives a portion of his soul to his children, and this portion becomes an exterior garment to the soul of the son. The portion that was part of the father's soul is the Netzach, Hod, and Yesod of the father's soul. It becomes a garment for the soul of the son. This portion has become an exterior garment to the soul of the son and helps him and guides him down the proper path. For this reason, a son is obligated to honor his father. The father gives up a part of himself for the sake of his son. Therefore, the son is obligated to honor the father." My commentary. There are many reasons for the mitzvah and the Esser Dibrot of honoring the father. The commentator is giving one explanation here, but it is not fully explained. The purpose of the father giving a part of himself is to protect the soul of the child from being overwhelmed by the light from the higher level. This is the implication for what happened in the world of points, Nikudim, and the Torah's words for Tohu Vabohu. When a son realizes that the father has donated parts of himself to protect him, he needs to implement the consciousness of appreciation when he does actions to honor his father. However, if there is less than 500 levels difference between the soul of the father and that of the son, then the portion of the father's soul will remain with the sons even in the time of Mashiach. We have already learned that each of the nefesh, ruach, and neshama has five partsufim, and each partsuf consists of 613 limbs. These are called major roots. Now, it will be explained with the help of Hashem in the Gate of Reincarnations, Chapter 11, Section 2, that each of these limbs or major roots has 600,000 branches that are called minor roots. Each spark is a whole soul in itself that must enter the world in Gilgul, each one in its time, in order to achieve correction. In addition, each one of the 613 major roots consists of 613 sparks. These are called major sparks, and they may divide into 600,000 minor sparks, according to need. Thus, there is a maximum of 613 times 600,000 minor sparks in each and every partsuf. This number, by the way, is 367.8 million. Each spark is a whole soul in itself that must enter the world in Gilgul, each one in its time, in order to achieve tikkun. Thus, each one of the roots and sparks of each partsuf have a place or a level in the general hierarchy of souls. The levels of two different souls may be close to each other in this hierarchy, or far apart. If the distance between them is more than 500 levels, then the portion of the Father's soul given to the Son will remain with the Son's soul even in the time of Mashiach. Nevertheless, in the time of the resurrection of the dead, or in the world that is coming, everything returns back to its root. They will separate completely. If there is less than 500 levels difference between the soul of the Father and that of the Son, they will remain together, even in the time of Mashiach. However, in the time of the resurrection of the dead, or in the world that is coming, when everything returns back to its root, they will separate completely. On the other hand, if there is a difference between them of 500 levels or more than 500 levels, then the lesser will be nullified within the greater. They will permanently unite forever, and they will never separate. And the two of them will become one root. This is in regards of a father with a son. A teacher gives some of his spirit to his student. Regarding a teacher and his student, we have already explained that a teacher gives some of his spirit to his student, like a father does to a son. This does not refer to the Ruach, often translated as spirit, that is one of the Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. Rather, it refers to a minor Ruach. In effect, the Arizal does not consider does not consider the information transmitted by a teacher to the student as a mere ethereal non-entity. Rather, it is something that is real. It has content and substance, and it endures forever. However, it is a more forceful connection. The spirit stays with the student forever, and they never separate. This is the esoteric meaning of the joining of the Nefesh of David with the Nefesh of Jonathan. The joining of the souls of David and Jonathan was also mentioned earlier in chapter 3, section 1, in a different context. It was based there on the verse from Samuel 1, chapter 18, verse 1. Here the connection is to the verse is more general and is less explicit. We will not have time to finish reading this section. So we are going to return to this next week. We'll start at the beginning. Does anyone have any questions as we're almost out of time? We will have a class at 7 o'clock West Coast time for our Zohar class. And we will have another class at 9 o'clock West Coast time for our all-night study for the Ari HaKadosh. I hope to see you all in both classes. I wish you shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom.